So the ark ends up staying at a man called Obed-Edom's house. It stays there for quite a while until one day David says, I've got to have the presence. It's amazing how long we'll go until we figure out, I've got to go get the presence. You see, it was over at Obed-Edom's house. That's not where it belonged. It belonged with the king. And so he went back and got the presence, got the Ark of the Covenant, and brought it back. And I just hear the Lord declaring that time to go to Obed-Edom's house tonight and get the presence. So with me tonight, I invite you to stand to your feet and all over this place, if you're watching online as well, this being your moment. This being your moment of realization that I must have the presence. I must have it. It's over it. I left it. I left it back there. I made a left when I should have made a right, but I'm going back to get it because it's the most important thing to me, your presence, oh God. And so, God, we come tonight and we declare that your presence is all we want. It's all we need. It's sufficient. Your presence, Lord, going before us, making every place we come to familiar, chasing away fear, removing all doubt. Your presence providing the way to our destiny and our purpose. We thank you, Lord, for today, your presence. We thank you for the moments that we've just encountered your presence. And we thank you, Lord, for the word that shall contain your presence that we are about to receive. We thank you, Lord, for those that tonight need a touch of your presence, received it, and they are receiving it. That your presence heals the sick. It restores the soul. It causes the heavy heart to be made light. It causes those who fear to be full of courage. It causes those who are weary to mount up with eagle's wings. We thank you tonight for your presence that's doing a work. We give you praise tonight. We come against all sickness and disease, premature death from poverty, lack and insufficiency, doubt and insecurity. We thank you for the provision of your word, for the provision of the cross. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for being suspended between heaven and earth to provide the promises to each and every one of us. We bless you tonight, and we thank you for your awesome presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, put your hands together for the Lord tonight. And our worship team this evening. Good to see you, my friend. I don't know the rest of you, but I do know that man right there. I do know him and some of the others. But it's good to see Ben. Some of you recognize Ben. Greet one another tonight. Welcome to Church on the North Coast. If you're watching online, we welcome you. This is our midweek love culture. We build culture during our midweeks. There's a lot of... You know, there's a lot of us not in here. Some of us are in the classroom tonight, but we want to welcome you to Church on the North Coast this evening. What we're going to do tonight, we're going to go right into the Word, and we'll receive the offering. Jeremy, we'll receive the offering on the way out. Amen. So welcome Pastor Cynthia as she comes to deliver the Word. Give her a great big hand tonight as she comes to deliver the Word of the Lord.
Bless God tonight. Wasn't that an awesome time of worship? God really showed up and showed us his glory tonight. Before I get into the word, I just want to make several quick announcements. In the foyer, you more than likely noticed the Christmas gift collection. And we're just asking all of you who are compelled in your heart, and we all should be, to donate a gift for a child in need. And this Christmas, when they receive your gift that you wrapped in love and you bless that gift and bless that child, they will have a happy Christmas. So you can bring your Christmas gift and drop them there in the drop-off box, and you will be blessed forgiving. Amen. Amen. And just wanted to remind you of the Christmas, special Christmas events that we will have coming up. Our Christmas pancake and a manger Christmas breakfast will be this coming Sunday on the 13th. So breakfast with Santa, and we will tell the kids the real meaning of Christmas. Amen. And then our spectacular Christmas Sunday will be December 20th. And then the most, one of our most special traditions here, the Christmas candlelight service will be on Wednesday, the 24th at 6 p.m. So we just invite you to, well, this is Wednesday, but Thursday here, so Wednesday is the 24th. So maybe the 25th. Okay. Okay, so Thursday is the 24th, so note the correction on the back here. Wednesday, it's not Wednesday, it's Thursday the 24th, Christmas Eve, and invite a special friend. I can remember inviting some friends and knowing that their lives were changed, and they received the Lord with that special touch. Christmas is a special time. So we're going to just acknowledge that Pastor Mary, how many of you have your declaration with you that Pastor Mary passed out last Tuesday? Well, I want you to, if you got your Bible, if you have your smartphone, if you have your tablet that has your Bible on it, I want you to grab hold of that. And with me, we're going to say this, that, and stand to your feet real quick as we acknowledge this declaration. Since this is our Revelation month, we're just going to acknowledge this, that it says, "This is my Bible." So say it after me. "This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Today, I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name. Amen." Now you may be seated. How many of you believe that when you declare that? Amen. The Word of God is sharp and active, and it is sharper than a two-edged sword, as it is alive in our lives. So as we're talking about Revelation this particular month, we're not specifically talking about the book of Revelation. We're talking about revelation that God gives. And last week we had an awesome word given by Pastor Mary. And today I'm just going to expound on revelation and how it brings illumination in our lives. You know, throughout our lives we are faced with divine opportunities that God present to us. They are consistent. They are purposeful to bring revelation to our lives and to bring a greater insight about Him and about His Word. How many of you can say amen about that? So this path of revelation, it causes and creates growth. It increases our wisdom. It increases our knowledge. And it brings light, or what we what I will refer to as illumination in obscure or dim places and in hidden places in our lives. So if we are not aware that God is bringing this revelation into our lives at that point, we can lose the perspective that God has about what's going on in our lives at that time. So we just have to remember that each step of disclosure or each step of illumination can do two things. It can inspire us and propel us into a place of growth, or it can cause us not to heed or listen, and so we get stagnant at that particular point or place. So when we come to this juncture and we decide to receive revelation, then we know that we're going to be inspired, or we're going to be propelled into to see the things the way God sees things, and to become at that moment what God wants us to become, because it's all a process of transformation. So it is always God's will. And I want you to remember this. It's always God's will and his desire for us to choose the path that leads to revelation. Revelation knowledge according to his will. Revelation knowledge according to his truth. Because we know that there is opposite truth out there available if we desire to receive it. Amen? Because the scripture says that during this time there would be every wind of doctrine. And do we see that now? Every wind of doctrine. And so we need to be inspired with the revelation that God gives and that God brings. So we know that God desires for us to go to this road of revelation, because what has he done? He has sent his beloved son to bring light into this dark world, so that everyone who desires to receive the light may have the light. And so this is what Jesus said himself in John 8:12. He said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And who's the life? Jesus. So we shall have his light in our lives. And as we look at revelation, we can acknowledge that it's God disclosing himself, and he does that through creation. We've seen it through history. We see God revealing himself through our conscious mind. We also know that God reveals himself through his voice, and he reveals himself through his word. And so in the Greek, when we look at the word revelation, it is a word that we all know, and it's called apocalypse. How many of us have heard the word apocalypse? And so apocalypse just literally means an unveiling. So even and it means a laying bare. Means that everything at that point God's exposing. He's exposing truth. He exposes error. He exposes and he discloses the truth. That is his purpose. And another common term that is used to describe this word just simply means it's sent from above. Revelation is sent from who? God, as we receive that. And so when we find this word, We know that God, throughout the scriptures, we can read that he has revealed his word in many times to many persons. And even now in this present age, he's revealing his word to us. Now, we're going to search the scriptures, and we're going to find, as we look into Luke, that following Christ's resurrection, we find that his disciples found themselves at that point having an obscure mind. After Christ was crucified, they then thought their lives as they knew it, as Christ had professed to them, and what they believed was now all in disarray. They didn't know what to do. They couldn't even recall the words that Christ had spoke to them. And he had been declaring the kingdom of God was coming, and he declared prophetically what would happen to him. He declared that the kingdom would come not as they first proposed it, that he would come and fight the Romans, but he was bringing an eternal, a supernatural kingdom. They forgot all of that once they were in the midst of coming to grips with our Messiah is dead. So they needed at that point a manifestation of truth. They needed an unveiling of exactly what was happening at that point. They needed to be reminded of the revelation that they had already received. And remember that there was one that Jesus said, "Thou art the rock." And his name was Peter, because Peter had a revelation that he was the Christ. And Peter even forgot that. So let us look, if you have your Bibles, at Luke 24. We're going to start at verse 13 through 16, and we're going to read about two of his disciples who were on the road to Emmaus. And it says this, as I read out of the New International Reader's Version. On the same day, two of Jesus' disciples were going to a village called Emmaus. It was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. Verse 14, they were talking to each other about everything that had happened. Now, if you can imagine, as they're on this road to Emmaus, are they talking about how they couldn't wait until the Messiah rose again? That they couldn't wait to see their Lord? No, they were talking about how he was crucified. And from their standpoint, he was dead, absolutely dead. They didn't remember that he said that you kill this body and what? 3 days later, it would rise again. It would be reconstructed. So in verse 15, then they said, while they were talking, Jesus approached them and began walking with them. Although they saw him, they did not recognize him. They didn't recognize the Lord who had been so intimate with them, who had shared bread with them, who had been praying with them, who had taught them all that they knew about the coming of the kingdom of God. They didn't recognize that that was the Lord. And why didn't they recognize? We will read further in the scripture. So let's look at verse 24, verse 27 through 32 out of Luke 24. And then he began with Moses' teachings. He began with the prophets, and some interpretations also indicate that he also expounded upon the Psalms, because he began to explain to them that what was said about him through the scriptures. And as he was giving them this revelation, and when they began to come near to the village where they were going, Jesus acted as if he was not going, as if he was not going to stay there with them, but he was going to go further. So in verse 29, they urged him, stay with us. It is getting late and the day is almost over. So within their spirit, they began to feel this quickening within them. Don't leave us now. Finish telling us about what the scripture said about this stranger. And when you read some interpretations, that is exactly what it says. It says the stranger approached them. Jesus was not a stranger. So he went to stay with them in verse 30. And while he was at the table with them, he took bread, he blessed it, he broke the bread and gave it to them. Then their eyes were open. There was an unveiling. It's like, that's the Messiah. And they then said to themselves, as they recognized him, and he immediately vanished from their sight, and they said to each other, we were excited. And that meant, did not our hearts burn within us? When he talked to us on the road, opened up the meaning of the scriptures to us. What did he do at that point? He gave them revelation. He gave them revelation knowledge. Then they left from where they were, went to meet with the other disciples. And when they had gotten there, the disciples were closed behind doors because they were afraid. Did they remember what the Messiah had said to them about him? No. They were concerned about what was going to happen to them because now the Messiah was dead. The coming of the kingdom of God, as they thought would come, for them, it was done. It was terminated. It was kaput. They didn't know what was going to happen. They didn't recall, because now their eyes were blinded. Their minds were obscure. They couldn't remember that the all that the Messiah had said to them. Let's look at verse 44 through 47 of the same said chapter. 44. When he said to them, now he's with the other disciples, Jesus has come into their midst. These are the words I spoke to you while I was with you. He had to remind them. I told you that about everything written about me in Moses' teaching, the prophets, and the Psalms had to come true. Verse 45. Then he opened their minds to understand the scripture. Do we need the Lord to open our minds so that we can understand the scripture? Yes, we do. He said to them that the scripture says that the Messiah would suffer and that he would come back to life on the third day. And then verse 47, scripture also says that by the authority of Jesus' people who would be told to turn to God, change the way they think and act so that their sins would be forgiven. So this was the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is what would be told to people from all nations beginning in the city of Jerusalem. So when we look at the word opened, open means because Jesus expounded on the gospels, because of the partaking of bread, their eyes were completely opened, uncovered. Now they had illumination and they understood and they could see. And this kind of charged them. And this is what the scripture tells us. The carnal mind cannot understand the things of God. Did their minds revert to a carnal state at that point? They were more concerned about their physical well-being. So we should not be concerned about the one that can harm the body or bring destruction to the body. We should be concerned about the one who has the capability, the power, the authority to cast into utter darkness. And so the disciples were not thinking as Christ had taught them. He enlightened them and they had an awakening. So the disciples then experienced a revival because now they were able to spiritually see. There are some times when we find ourselves in the middle of going through a trial or tribulation, or we just may be in a dry season of our lives. We forget what the Word of God says. And so that's why the Holy Spirit has to come and bring us revelation again. He has to speak a scripture in our heart. While maybe we're hearing a song and that word then attaches to our song and that rhema comes alive in us and then we feel the Spirit of the Lord quickening us and every fear that we have had about that particular circumstance, what happens to it? It's out of here. It goes because the word is so powerful that we have to get to a point that we realize that reading the scriptures, studying the scriptures is not optional. As a Christian, it is not optional. It is our bread. And so we have to remember that. So when Jesus opened their minds to understand, it simply means, according to the Greeks, their mind came into agreement with what Christ was stating to them. Our mind has to come into agreement with the Word of God, regardless to what is going on around us. And so he began to impart, he began to reveal. And these disciples were fortunate enough to receive in their hearts from Christ as the Word was being preached to them. So that's what he was doing. He was preaching to them. So as we are in the midst, when we come to church on Sunday, when we come to church midweek, the midweek cultures, or wherever you may be, when the Word of God is coming forth, just realize that the Holy Spirit is breathing on that particular word to quicken our lives, to bring new revelation to the word. You can go back to the same scripture that you read yesterday, and it is all new with a new revelation just for your lives. Now, isn't that awesome that the God of heaven would bring revelation to us every day? The word never gets old. It continues because it's alive. The Word of God is alive. And so as these disciples made a decision, I'm going to receive it. When we are in the midst and the Holy Spirit is moving, we can decide I'm going to receive this, or in our minds we can block it and say I don't want to hear it from that vessel, or I don't like that preacher or whatever. And you may be getting ready to miss the biggest revelation that God has brought to your life. It only takes one little word to change your entire life, to change your mindset. because that is what God does. So just think about this. I want you to do one of these. Do you guys remember Arsenio Hall? He used to go, Well, so I want you to do this. Just think that if we brought our minds into agreement with what God declares about us, and if we brought our mind into agreement what God has stated in his word, where would we as a church be with advancing the kingdom of God? Would we care so much about social organizations who decide that they're going to resist and cause a separation of church and state? Or would we care about individuals who say that we are we're not liberal enough? Would we care about that? Because our foundation is what? It's this word. That is what we do. So the primary function of revelation is to bring enlightenment to any obscurity, to anything that is veiled in our lives, so that God wants to just throw back the cover, give us understanding, change our perception, and to give us an intellectual and a spiritual awakening about what he says. It doesn't matter how many degrees that you have. If the word of God is not in our lives, it limits the things that we can do, because the word of God has power in it, power to do whatever God sends it to do. So we want, as we declare, Lord, we want a spiritual awakening in our hearts and in our minds. We want a metamorphosis to occur in our lives, to change our lives so that we can be who you see us as, a victorious, triumphant, powerful, overcoming church of the living God. So, you know when revelation works best in our lives? When we know our lives have been transformed. Do you, when reading the Word of God, expect to receive something that will change your life the moment that you're reading it? So, because we should. And so, let's go back to the disciples who were walking on the road to Emmaus, and the disciples who were closed up as they were waiting together because they were afraid. So when the disciples walking this 7-mile journey to Emmaus, in their hearts and in their minds, can you imagine how forlorn they were? Can you imagine how dashed their hopes are? Can you imagine at that moment how they felt and how fear had gripped them? Now imagine those who are lost, who don't have Christ, who don't know about revelation. And we come into contact with their lives, and we have revelation that we could take the very word of God in our mouth, through our lips, speak it in their lives, and the rhema of God, the breath of God comes into their lives, and those people are changed. Sometimes, you know, you've heard me say that we get too tied up in wondering how it's going to be done. That's not our business. Holy Spirit knows how to do what he has been called to do. He just says, is there one who will go? Is there one who will speak? Is there one who will take the risk to change the culture of this generation? And I declare that we have said, as a church body here, that we're ready to change the culture. Amen? We're ready to change the culture, because those who are blinded by the culture do not realize that they need a metamorphosis. They think, I'm doing fine. But once their lives come into contact with the revelation that you are blessed to have, that I am blessed to have, their lives will never be the same. And they don't go back. So I said, once they have an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ and they really invite him into their hearts, and I'm not talking about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with a lot of religion tied to it, because we just then put them in shackles and they walk around all tied up. I'm talking about the kind of gospel that brings liberty, that sets the captive free, that
lets the prison doors open, that brings deliverance to the lives of those who need it. That is the kind of revelation that this world needs. And that is the kind of revelation that is down in our hearts. It is in our belly. And some of us have just pushed it down so far because the enemy has made us think and intimidated us, saying, you're not anointed, or you can't do that. And we say, oh no, yes we are. Because the same anointing that raised Jesus from the dead, the same anointing that opened the eyes and the mind of the disciples, is the same anointing that is working in me. And we just say, God, use us. Take our lives and just show us, God. You know, we're teaching our church about treasures. And so we need to say, God, show me the treasure in that person. Because you know what? They don't know the treasure that is in them. They don't even know that God loves them. And when we tell them and about God's love, and this man who became a friend, he was every bit man and every bit God, and said, I want to be your friend. I want to lay my life down for you so that you can have eternal life. And then you know what I'm going to do for you? I'm going to let you partake as a joint heir in the kingdom of my Father. And even here on earth, you'll be able to walk in the same power. Even more so. Isn't that what the scripture says? Than I did. Can you imagine walking in more power and revelation than Jesus did while he was on this earth? Because why? We have been given the mandate that we're to make his enemies become his footstool. And we have to subdue the kingdoms. The kingdoms of darkness are no match for Jesus Christ. They must bow to him. That is what the scripture said. So we don't want to get to the point that we don't recognize when the Holy Spirit is working on our lives. And he's saying, I want to bring you this revelation today. Are you ready to receive it? Get your head off that bed and get on your knees. I want to drop this in your heart. Hey, I want to give you a creative idea. I want to give you a witty invention. I want to give you a word that will change this county and change this nation. You know, as the people of God, all we have to do is come together, begin declaring what God said in his word about this nation, about the nations of the world. We can change this nation. We don't have to see joblessness in this nation. We become to repent for this nation and say, God, if it's only five of us, we're going to stay here until you do something. We're going to continue to cry out to you. And God says he will answer. He says he will answer. So the disciples, once they then realized that their situation was no longer bleak, but that the Messiah had risen and he was in their very midst. Wow, what happened in their lives? They began to do what? Set the world on its ear. When we realize that that same Messiah is in our lives, working in our lives, working beside us, waiting for us, saying, hey, Cynthia, get up today. Let's go change the world today. And that is what he's saying to us, to not be afraid. I remember one of my bosses had indicated to me, you're not afraid to ask anybody for anything. And I said, you know what? All they can say is no. And then I'm going to keep asking because God, sooner or later, they'll say yes. Because we think about the scripture, what did the unrighteous judge do? Just keep on coming. And sooner or later, you're going to get it. And so if we have the favor of God on our lives, eventually, it is for the kingdom of God, then God is going to do it. So as Jesus continued to expound on the Torah and expound on the prophets and expound in the Psalms, it caused this supernatural stirring. It caused a release to come about in their lives. So I want to ask you today, is there a spiritual revelation that you need from God tonight to change your life? Is there a wisdom that you need God to download into your heart? And is there an understanding that you need to have about a particular situation? Do you desire to have counsel? Do you desire to have the might of the Lord? Do you desire to be as bold as the Lion of Judah? Well, just say, Lord, that's me. I want that. And God, I receive it right now because that is your desire to give it to me. Now let's talk further about the word. Let's talk about the gospel. The gospel simply and purely is revelation. Yes, and I know that you know this, because when you have read the Word of God, all of a sudden it ignites in your heart and you get your pen out and you begin to write what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. That is revelation from the gospel. So when we study God's Word, we should look forward to the gospel communicating God's truth to us. We should look forward to seeing in the gospel God's action and what His intent for us. So when we go back and we say, okay, that was just for Israel, that's not for me. That was just for David, that wasn't for me. That was just for Judah, that wasn't for me. And that was just for the woman at the well, that wasn't for me. We miss that moment of revelation that God wants to do in His life. The Old Testament is not done away with. It is fulfilled in Christ. So when I read something, I just say, God, that's what Your Word says. God, manifest it. We may have to work that Word. We may have to work our faith. But God's Word is not going to go back to Him void. When He gives revelation and that ignites in your heart, you go, that's mine. That's mine, Lord, because You have declared it. And God's Word communicates His nature. Is God good? The Scripture says there's no evil in Him. So when you hear people say, well, God brought that on my life, uh-uh. We live in a fallen world. There is an evil presence that is here, but He is overcome because the Scripture said that Jesus did what? Spoiled the powers and the principalities. He made an open show of them. So they are defeated, and Satan knows he's defeated, but he does not want those who are blinded to understand he is defeated. He's defeated against us. And I will continue to say, stop saying what the devil is doing. Start professing what the Word proclaims. Start talking about what God is doing, and we'll see greater things happen. And so we also know that the Word of God brings strength. It strengthens our relationship, it strengthens our faith, and it strengthens our hope in who? God. See, the enemy wants us to get mad at God when we don't see things happening the way we want to see them happen. I know it because he's tried me. And I just said, and God goes, that's not me. That is not me. Let me uncover this and show you really who this is. So, and you know, if the enemy has his hand on your family, command him. In the name of Jesus, you take your hands off my family. You take your hands off of what belongs to me, because what I have belongs to Jesus, and what Jesus has belongs to me. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 3:12 through 18. For we know that we have this boldness and this hope in Jesus Christ. It says, therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadfastly at the end of what was passing away, but their minds were blinded. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted, it's still down, in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil was taken away in Christ. So we got revelation in Christ. So I heard one minister say, don't ever say that you don't know what to do. Because we have revelation in Christ. Don't say, I don't know what to do about this situation. Before we let that come out of our mouths, just say, God, give me wisdom. God, give me an understanding. Unveil to me what is the strategy of heaven. Do you know heaven has strategies? Heaven has a game plan, and we don't even ask the Lord to download this game plan. So before we hike this ball, Lord God, we'll know what the strategy is, and we're going to go and make the touchdown. The victory is ours. It is ours. It doesn't matter what it looks like. The victory is ours. And so as we go further in the gospel in 2 Corinthians 3, it said 15, it says, but even until this day, when Moses is read, the veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, When one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So should we ever say that we're bound by something? If in Christ we have liberty, who the Son sets free is truly free indeed. So we're no longer bound. But we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in the mirror of the glory of the Lord, have been transformed into the image of Christ from glory to glory, just by the Spirit of the Lord. So when we have knowledge of God and we recognize who we are dependent upon and who we are intimately involved with, we begin to understand His Word. The Word is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the living Word. He is the living Word. Revelation doesn't merely bring an understanding of the gospel, it reveals. So Christ is loosed in that circumstance. Christ is loosed in our lives. So He is the living Word when we speak forth God's Word. So when people go days upon days, months upon months, and let this precious Word gather dust, they are attempting to know the living God without knowing Him through the revelation of His Word. How can you know Jesus? How can we say that we know Jesus when we don't spend time to find out who He is, to get more revelation? And just because you read the Word, the Bible, from cover to cover this year doesn't mean you shouldn't start again next year, because you're going to learn something new. That's why Jesus said to the disciples, I can't teach you everything that right now. So if we think for one moment that we know everything that we need to know about the Lord Jesus, no matter how long you've been walking with Him, then I'm here to say to you, Satan has deceived you, because we don't know all that we know about the manifold wisdom and about God in His person. I think that, you know, in the scripture we hear that the angels cry out, holy, holy, because every time they see Him, there's another manifestation of Him. Holy is the Lord. So that's what we should be doing. Oh, God, holy, holy. But you know what? We come in God's house to listen to God's rhema word by His anointed men and women of God, and we sit up there like, we come, and then we're either texting on our phones or we're doing something. God may be ready to send you a major breakthrough in your life that will turn your life upside down, and we are not giving Him His undivided attention. We're not reverencing God, but I know in this house we reverence God. We're looking for God. We're seeking after God. To know God and to receive revelation is to seek Him. He is not just going to say, hey, do you want to know me? No, seek after me, pant after me, as the deer pants after the water brook. You will find me. And even if He may be hiding, it's because He wants you to go a little bit deeper, a little bit further. We need to show the world who the Lord really is. We need to show the world how, with the Word of God, we can live, and we have lived victoriously. But you know what individuals say? That, you know, for many years, thousands of years, Christians have said Jesus is coming back again. So what does the book of Revelation said? Blessed is he who reads this word and believes it. The book of Revelation. So it's like sometimes we go, okay, I don't want to read Revelations. It's too hard. It's too scary. God brings revelation to us about the types and shadows, about the metaphors that we see in the Word of God. We should not be afraid to delve deeper. We should be willing to say, God, take me as deep as you want to take me. Amen? So how many are willing to go deeper? Okay, and as we say we're ready to go deeper, God, we're ready to sacrifice all that we need to sacrifice. We want to know you in the fullness of who you are. We want to know your word. We want the rhema and the logos word, God. We want to seek revelation from you. God, we're going to come every time, Lord, that we sit down to impart your word, we're going to be hungry. Every time, God, we come to hear your word, we're going to be hungry and thirsty after God. And then we will then maturate into the church that we are supposed to be. We're supposed to be the type of people, when we walk into a situation, things start being set in order. Because the Spirit of the Lord that is in us is working through us. I just say, God bless those who seek you, who want more of you, who are willing to say, God, whatever it takes, I'm willing to do it. God, because there are people who are standing on the brink of destruction, Almighty God. And I want you to use my life, God. I want you to work through me, God, so that we may save a lost generation. But I know, by the Spirit of the Lord, there is coming a time in this very city, in this location, in this country, that where illumination of God's word and a quickening and an awakening is coming to the body of Christ, because there is a remnant that is crying out for God. We're not going to rest, God, until you show us your glory. Till you show us your glory. And the manifested glory, I'm going to tell you, of God. God's glory was in here when the worship team was singing. When he was singing, show me your glory. Why does God want his glory to be revealed? So that he could reveal himself to a lost world. And we're ready, God. We want that to happen. To reveal to our families. And we need to start declaring with revelation knowledge that, God, we believe every jot and tittle of your word. We'll stand on it. Just, Lord, we'll take it to our hearts, God. And it's what we live for. It's what we breathe, God. It's you. You are the living word. And so what we need to do is fall in love with Jesus. So let me kind of accelerate to the end of my message here. So what do we need to do in order to receive more of God's revelation? Number one, we need to utilize the revelation of God's word to bring strength to our lives and to bring strength to the lives of others. We need to allow God to use his word to encourage us, to energize us. And it doesn't matter what the word is telling us to do. We just say, we're going to do it. Lord, we'll do it. And then secondly, we need to understand, as we are utilizing God's word, that he's perfecting our lives with the revelation that he brings to us. It is just not for us to say, hey, I'm deep. No, it is for you to transform our lives so that we can become more like the Lord Jesus. The enemy don't care if you're deep. He'll attack your life anyway. But we just stand up and say no through the revelation and the revealing of God's word. We must accept God's word as the plumb line, as a standard to measure the entirety of our lives. And we can't take a little portion of the scripture and say, okay, I'll apply that. But no, okay, God, I don't want that. No, the entirety of the word we must apply to our lives. And then we must know the word of God is a benchmark for us for daily living. And then secondly, as we look here, this is what David Bernard said. All scripture is given for our admonition, for correction, for guidance, for training. And while the culture has changed from Bible days, we must still follow the principles. We change our means and methods of how we reach the generation, but the word of God is still the word of God. And in every area of our lives, we need to reverence God's word. It is holy. It is sacred. It is what the church lives by. And then the second portion that we need to do, we need to understand that God's word blesses our lives when we obey it. And we must then remain thirsty for the living word. We have to be thirsty for God. It's just like being in love with somebody and their love waxes cold. And they go, hey, baby, I don't want you no more. We can't do that to Jesus. We can't say, Jesus, today, we cool. Tomorrow, God, I just don't want to be bothered with you. No, we have to stay in his word. We have to love him like he loves us. He gave his life for us. He didn't hold back not one thing. He gave his life for us. And so this is what we have to say. God, we believe your word. And according to Isaiah 44, 3 through 4, it says, Jesus, God says this, I will give water to the thirsty land and make streams to flow on the dry ground. I'll pour out my spirit on your children and my blessings on your descendants. They will thrive like a well-watered grass, like willows by streams of running water. That's God's word. Are you declaring that over your children? Are you declaring that over your seed? Are you declaring that over your great-grandchildren and grandchildren? And then the third thing we must do is view the word as holy, as sacred, the final authority. Who cares what this world says about the Bible? It is the unadulterated word of God. And that's what we stand on. We must see the word as full of life, activated by our faith, and we must see it as it's persistent, unchanging. It becomes our reality, not the circumstantial evidence. This is the reality that we live by. So the authority of God's word, we have to remember, was conceived by divine inspiration. Just for us. Just for you and me. And then finally, we must get on fire for Christ as the living word. We can no longer be a lackadaisical church. We can no longer just say, well, you know what? I'm just worried about my salvation and my life in Jesus. No, we have to go beyond the walls and reach the nations. We must reach the ethnos right around your home, right around this church, in this city, in this state, in this county. We must reach out to other people. We have to get hot and on fire again, because the Lord Jesus declares in Revelations, I will spew you out if you're lukewarm. So we want to be hot, because why? Lives are waiting for us, just for us, to declare that Jesus is the Lord. Amen? So why don't you stand on your feet as we end this night. And we just declare, Father, we just bless you for revelation, God. And we just thank you, Lord, that you continually give us revelation in our lives, God. You continually unfold your word to us. You renew our minds, God. You refresh us. You restore us. You cause us to have the mind of Christ. And you cause our hearts, God, to be hot and on fire for you. That is what we want, God. We refuse to be lukewarm Christians, Father. With your love, with your mercy and your grace, we're going to tell the world about Jesus. We're going to tell our neighbors, God. We're going to tell our co-workers using godly wisdom. And we thank you for strengthening our lives so that we may carry forth the mandate to take the gospel through out all the world, Father. Thank you for blessing this house and blessing our leaders, God, to carry forth the mandate that you've placed on their lives and on this church and on each and every one of our lives. We bless your name. We reverence you. And if you have not, if anyone is in here who has not received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you're watching by internet or any electronic media and you have not asked Jesus Christ into your heart, he is waiting here with arms open wide to say, come to me just as you are. I love you. I've given my life for you, and I have a plan for your life. Don't go give up on life. Though life may be hard, for there is one who's overcome hell, death, and the grave. And he will be with you through every trial and tribulation that you could ever face, because he is the victorious one. He's the Redeemer. So if you're in here tonight and you're watching and you have not received the Lord, just bow your head with me and say, Lord Jesus, I receive of you today. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins. Thank you for dying for me on the cross and making a way, Lord, for me to escape, God, the wages of sin, which is death. Thank you for your love, oh God. I receive. receive a new life. In your holy name I pray. Amen. So live right, pray hard, and love everybody. And we will see you here on Sunday, where we will receive new revelation. We will receive new energy. We will receive a newness of life from the Lord Jesus Himself. Be blessed and go in God. Amen. For you to give your tithe and offering. So as you bless the house of God, may you receive a thousandfold return, because you decided to give so that someone else